Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Hopefully you got to watch some films, good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. We'll get to that. I got a guest this week, my buddy KJ of KJ in the Air, and all sorts of various radio historical moments. We'll be talking a little bit about her new book, but I do want... Can you hear that back there? That's good. This is what happens when you record on Meridian Street. But I want to talk about one film that is opening this week. As I mentioned before, we are in grown-up movie season. The award screeners and the end-of-the-year possibilities are all starting to just kind of dump on us, which is not a bad problem to have. However, I've noticed a trend this year with some of the noted films by noted filmmakers, filmmakers that you know and I know and I like, and most of them have been a step down from the previous film. Luca Guadagnino, of course, who did Bones and All, I thought that was a step down. David O. Russell, even Olivia Munn. And there's a few other filmmakers that we'll get to whose work hasn't come to town yet. But the latest, and right now, this might be the front runner for biggest disappointment this year, is Noah Baumbach's White Noise. And did not know it was based on a book. I talked to a couple of literary friends about the novel. But this stars Adam Driver and Greta Gerwig as a married couple. He is in academia. She is a mom and also does yoga. This is their fourth marriage for each of them, and they bring their kids in. So it's kind of a hodgepodge, Brady Bunch, step by step. I think what Baumbach wanted to do, there's a lot of territory covered in this. I think he wanted to do something that looked like an 80s kind of sitcom. The production designer had a field day on this film. It screams 80s. I think the wedding singer was saying, calm down, especially in what becomes a focal point in the film, an A&P grocery store. But Driver's character, Jack, is the foremost expert on the teachings of Adolf Hitler. And his best friend, played by Don Cheadle, is the foremost academic on the teaching of Elvis Presley. This is the kind of heavy stuff we're getting to. There's moments where the film addresses academics as rock stars. The family has a crisis when a train and a tanker truck with chemicals collide, and there's a possible outbreak, and everybody has to leave their house and go into a quarantine encampment. Get it? It's 1980. It's the 1980s. Could be the 40s. Could be 2 years ago. It's that heavy-handed. Then there is an investigation that Driver goes through over some pills that his wife is taking. I'll say this, when it wants to be an 80s film, Noah Baumbach style, even though it covers too much territory, in my opinion. There is a moment when the entire family is in a station wagon and they are making a jump over a hill and everybody screams as the car lands in slow motion. It's that broad. So, yeah, I didn't think it all meshed enough for me. And as I mentioned, this is a step down because the last film bombed back there was Marriage Story. So, and there's a huge dance sequence at the end that I don't think the film earned the right to do that. So if you're a fan of the novel by Don DeLillo, enjoy, I guess. But, yeah, there's a it feels like there's too much territory for this film, for Baumbach to try to cover. Maybe if he had scaled down a couple of subplots, I probably would have liked a little more. But, yeah, White Noise opens this week. Oh, I'm sorry, for my buddy Melissa, not to be confused with the Michael Keaton thriller from, what, 15 years ago, 17 years ago? Okay, so, yeah, White Noise opens this week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. We'll go around the horn, then we'll hear my chat with KJ. Over at Arts for Lawrence, they have Heartland Films' Merry Movie Nights coming up on Thursday, December 15th at 6:30. They're showing The Grinch. On Friday, December 16th at 6 o'clock, they're showing Elf, and at 8:15, White Christmas. Saturday, December 17th, at 6 o'clock, they're showing The Polar Express, and at 8:15, White Christmas. Sunday, December 18th at 7 p.m., National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's at Arts for Lawrence. At the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, Friday and Saturday at 2 and 7:30 p.m., and 2 and 5:30 p.m. on Sunday. That's December 9th, 10th, and 11th, White Christmas. So there is that. December 15th, 7 p.m. Oh, it's a members-only event of Remember the Night. Sorry, and it's still on their webpage. Friday and Saturday, December 16th and 17th, and Sunday, December 18th, 2 and 7:30 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, 2 and 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. All of that is at the Art Craft Theater in Franklin. At IU Cinema, tonight at 7 o'clock is Scrooged. Saturday at 7 o'clock is the 2007 version of 310 to Yuma. Sunday, December 11th at noon is the Study Break Mega Marathon. They're going to be showing School Days at noon, Better Luck Tomorrow at 210, Blockers at 355, Summer School at 545, The Faculty at 7:30, Rushmore at 9:20, and 11 p.m., The Craft. So there's your Study Break Mega Marathon, courtesy of IU Cinema. All right, so I got to talk to my buddy KJ. You should check this out. Enjoy. Joining me on Film Sociology is a voice. If you are a longtime Indianapolis radio person, you know this voice. You should know this voice. One of my favorite Packer fans, I don't hold it against her, and she's got a new book out called Raised by Cats, Behind the Mic and the Meows. You know her simply as KJ. What's happening, buddy?
I am so excited to be here, and I'm not going to lie, I've never been in these studios that I'm geeking out about.
Really?
I'm on NPR.
Yeah, we're classing up the joint. Is that?
I'll try to keep it classy.
No, I make no promises. Look who your host is. No, don't worry about that. Okay. Before we get into the book, a little history. So KJ and I we kind of interacted on a very popular morning show in this market, still around.
Yes.
But because the Indianapolis radio scene is really kind of intertwined, and it's not an incestuous thing, but the family tree is all over the place.
Oh, yes, yes.
And people go and come to, and we see each other. And that's so here's an example of the social media used for good, not for evil. I was like, oh, there she is. So that sort of thing. But yes. I remember she had to watch me go on a morning show and recommend films that people who listen to this morning show would never see in a million years. And eventually, and then I had to do things like, and I did this on other stations, friends, and not just this, mm-hmm. not this particular morning show. But I would describe the film and really like it, and then I have to end it with, by the way, it's in Japanese. What? There's subtitles? Yes, yes. In fact, I think the last time I was on the morning show, I had actually exclaimed on the air, "I can't review Old School every week."
Yep.
So, yeah, that's hard being an art house critic in a commercial radio world. But no, you're here.
Well, I want to just let everybody know how deep our relationship goes. I have never really had a chance to thank you because you were there in the beginning and I didn't want to be on the air. Like, I was a behind
right.
the scenes
yes,
person.
That's
I was
right.
a programming person.
You got dragged in.
I got dragged in, and there was a day where I like stood up and I was like, this is not my job. I want to go back to programming. And they were like, no, this is your job, or you don't have a job. And you came in that day to do movie reviews.
Yeah.
And I was crying at my desk.
Yeah. By the way, that you shouldn't come into all work like that. So, right. Hey, how's it going? Oh, it's definitely a case of the Monday. I'm sorry. Continue.
That's okay. But no, like that was a moment where I was like, this is so embarrassing. And you were so kind. And like, honestly, it stuck with me through the years.
Oh,
that
wow.
If I was going to be breaking down at my desk at any moment, like, what has my life become? I'm a glorified babysitter. And there was nobody, I think, that I would have rather had come in at that moment and be so kind and understanding and just let me cry.
And this is from a Lions fan, friends. This is we are friendly rivals of the NFC North. Whatever.
We are, right? Yes. God. I'm not just a Packers fan. I'm a Packers owner. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
I have one
of
those.
Did you go to the annual meetings in the stands?
I've never been to the meetings. I'm thinking maybe this year.
The airing of the grievances?
I've got a lot of things to say, right? As an owner right now, I'm like, you are not listening to me. But they always have it like on a Wednesday in the middle of summer when it's like people are vacationing. They make it really hard for you to go, right? They're like, yes. We don't actually want you there, but we said we'd do this. So 2 o'clock on Wednesday, July 12th, if you can make it, we'll let you in. And I've never been able to make it.
Well, you have to work on that. Well, I'm sure the airing of the grievances is there's a scroll, I'm sure.
Yes.
But make sure you dress up as Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. That's old school grievances.
Yes.
So.
I love a good cosplay.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't done that one yet.
So the other story, speaking of getting people on the air, so I had a – before Film Sociology, I had a show – I co-hosted a show called Saturday Matinee on a certain AM channel, you know, the one Abdul used to be on.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Saturday afternoons, and I had an intern, you know, college-age young lady, working the board. And there were times if my old sidekick wasn't there, I'd have to run the show solo. And that's hard to do at times before the era of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't get anything out of them. I think we were like 6 months as a show in a year and a half long program. And I finally brought up Newsies.
Oh.
And this 20-something, I used to have sleepovers and when we would watch Newsies. I went, that's what broke the silence, really? And I didn't.
Finally.
Right. And I was like, oh, I didn't. And I had no idea there was a cult following. I can't remember how I was talking about Newsies, but this is what chimed this kid up. So,
oh, wow.
So anyway, you mentioned, here's a segue. You mentioned, babysitter. Is it like herding cats?
Oh, it is. Yes. Yes. Actually, my next running title for, because I got the book out, so now I got to put more books out, is... the running working title is Herding Humans.
Oh, God.
And telling it from the perspective of the cats.
So, Raised by Cats, Behind the Mic and the Meows, give us the origins of the book. We know you're an animal person, big time.
I am. So, a lot of people don't know this. My very first word was kitty.
Lovely.
My mother wrote it down in my baby book. My poor siblings, because I was sibling number 2 of 9. So
whoa.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. So none of them after me got baby books because, you know, moms start to be like, yeah, this isn't that
not as significant.
Yeah, this isn't that special. But my mother always reminded me that, like, before you said mom, before you said dada, like, you said kitty cat. And,
it's easy. It rolls
right?
off the tongue. It's fun.
And so, you know, if my mother was alive, I'm sure she would be very pleased that if my first word was going to be kitty, at least I made a career out of it.
Now, did you actually acknowledge a kitty cat? Because there's also the bits. I know Robin Williams is the first one many who've done it, where you look at the dad and go, daddy. And then you look at the chair and go, daddy.
Yes, so there is, and I put lots of pictures in the book because I was like, I don't know that anybody's ever going to want to like actually read these words, but lots of cute cat pictures. And there is a picture of me as a baby with my first kitten, and that is the kitten who I pointed at and said kitty cat.
And what was the name of that kitten?
Kitty cat.
Oh, kitty. Oh, just that's
yes,
just adopted.
Yes, you know, like
it, right.
When your baby's.
Oh
like,
my gosh, look at that!
Oh, you, got a you good, see that? Picture?
You have a good skull.
Oh, thank you.
So
thank
if you need to do G.I. Jane, you're set.
I appreciate that.
No, because for every Patrick Stewart and Michael Jordan, you know, you have Patrick Ewing. You have hot dog ripples and everything.
Oh,
so,
yes.
No, you're
yes.
good.
My husband is bald and he has a great head.
There
so,
you go.
Yes, I.
Freezing. Yeah.
So I started just born with a love of cats, and then I continued on. It's the story of how I grew up on the farm and waking up early, and how that prepared me for doing morning radio. And that
oh,
when
geez,
I
that explains it.
When
okay.
I left, little Cuba City, Wisconsin, and my entire family was like, you're not going to just make babies and live on the farm? And I was like, no, I'm going to be a performer, and I'm taking the cat with me. And so literally I took a cat and left to pursue a life in radio. So
was this kitty cat?
It was not kitty cat.
Okay.
It was his name was Reggie, and the first chapter is called The Practice Cat, and I give much love to Reggie, because you know when you're, like, young, you don't know how to, like, raise a
right.
A cat? You don't have to take care of another living being. You can't take care of yourself.
No, because you pet a cat like this. Pet
right?
kitty, yeah.
You just don't know. So there's like a public apology, but to Reggie.
Reggie has a press conference with a little podium. You're forgiven. Hooven.
Yes. I hope so. Yeah, I hope he's like in kitty heaven going, finally, I get acknowledged for all the crap I went through with you, woman. And so along the way, like, cats kind of intertwined with my radio life. And
yes.
A lot of people have said, like, we want the behind the scenes of this morning show that I was on, because, you know, I could tell some stories.
I
was like, well, I'm more comfortable telling you the story first, at least, about, like, how I got to where I am and how eventually I wasn't on radio anymore because my bosses were like, nobody cares about cats and Star Wars as much as you do. And I was like, well, then.
Oh, that's a fib.
I guess jeez. I'm going to go find a way to talk about cats and Star Wars. So I joined Pet Pals TV and I created the Kinda Nerdy Girls podcast. And you too can live your dream.
Those guys up there said that?
Yeah.
That's a crock.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes.
Take a cat golfing. Oh, Jesus. Sorry.
But it's okay, because those were things that propelled me to where I am now.
Good.
Right? Like, and I tell people that, like, if somebody tells you no one cares about what you care about, that is a lie, and you're just not in the right place.
That's also like starting a sentence, I'm not racist.
Right. Right. Yes. No, and especially in the podcast world now and social media, my gosh, you can find your people.
Oh, totally.
No matter how weird you are, you can find your people. If I
yep.
can just go be like a lady who just talks about cats and Star Wars, you can be anything. I promise.
She does. She does. So how are things with your podcast?
Very good. The Kinda Nerdy Girls continues. It's been, gosh, 5-6 years
yeah.
going strong.
Time flies, man.
Yeah. And we have propelled the Kinda Nerdy Girls into being the pop culture power of the KJ Today Show, which is my YouTube channel.
Yep.
So again, like, positivity, pets, and pop culture. I love all these things. Like, let's find a place to just do it all.
So occasionally she will go online and say, and it's like the day before, I'm going to be interviewing so-and-so. What do you ask? And I remember throwing a few, because I'm the guy. That's the most obscure thing on their IMDb. Ask about that.
Yes.
Yep, sure enough.
And they love that, right?
Yes.
Like, and I love doing that because it helps me. I don't want to do an interview that you don't care about. And of course I got to talk about their single or their
book. The thing they're doing.
You
yeah,
know,
that's
like
the whole thing.
But then I also want to talk about, like, you know, the weird things that they've done and cared about, because they get excited.
Because they're sitting – here's the a little back inside baseball, friends. They're sitting in a hotel room, and there either is a screen or they have a phone or a speaker, and then their publicists go, you're going to talk to KJ in Indianapolis?
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in, and they're probably going to do 20, 30, 40 of these in a morning.
Oh, yes.
So when you're hitting – the similar question, obviously, you first rule, plug whatever.
Yes.
You do plug whatever, and then whatever time's left over, completely geek out and just throw curveballs at them. And because that wakes them up. That's you get a response. They remember you, things like that.
Yeah. And they are like you. They're going. They get 2 minutes off and then they're on 8 minutes. And you have to, like, your 8 minutes with them, you're like, hello, let's create a rapport immediately over the phone, and this is going to be great.
Oh, yeah. And you've heard some of these here on the show, friends. That's yeah, I got on that rotation of, okay, yeah, you get 5-10-minute interviews. Or there have been times where when I set up my first interview with Robert Irvine from Food Network, and I talked to the publicist from the network, and they went, so how long do you need? I went, 20, 30 minutes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. How much will you use? 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I said, we're public radio. We have long attention spans. We're going to have a conversation. I've done the 5 to 10 minute ones. It's not my first choice.
Right.
Because, yeah, you just when you start a rhythm, South Dakota's got to talk to them.
I'm exactly. Like, you're like, so I am recording today for season 2 of the KJ Today Show. And I'm going to be talking to Corey Feldman. So if you have any questions for Corey, please.
Well, at the time of this recording, I don't know. But he's coming to town. There's a new single.
He's got a new single out. Yes.
So, you know, you 80s fans out there.
Listen, I was a fan of the Corys, right?
Of course.
That was my age group. Like, Stand By Me was, like, the first time that I was like, boys are kind of cute, you know? Like, and then, you know, it's like, Goonies was a classic. And then when you got to the Lost Boys, I went to the Lost Boys for my birthday, but I wasn't old enough yet, right?
Uh-huh.
So my mom had to take me and give me tell them.
Oh, like drop you off.
Drop me off and buy the tickets and say, my daughter has permission to see this movie.
God, this welcome to the 80s, friends. That stuff cannot, depending on your multiplex crack security employees,
right.
Maybe not. But yeah, I've seen those parents where they just come, point to the kid, I'll see you in 2 hours.
But I was like, all I want for my birthday is to see the Lost Boys. I love Corey Feldman. Like, so,
man.
You know, I don't know if I'll bring that up to him today, but
my version of that, I was at a 1988, I graduated high school, and I got to throw my boxer shorts at Lita Ford. At the State Theater in Kalamazoo. It was Lita Ford, Yngwie Malmsteen, and YMT,
nice.
If I remember right. So, Kiss Me Deadly. And I tried to get backstage to retrieve them. Because I thought I was making a big, fun statement. Guys could do it, too. Yeah. And, no luck. No luck. And then years later, it was before lockdown, but Lita Ford played at the Firehouse in Richmond.
Oh, wow.
By the way, The Firehouse Barbecue and Blues in the Depot District in Richmond, Indiana. I love Tom and the gang, and they're really fun, and they do have blues shows from time to time. But this has become a haven for bands of that era who are doing acoustic storytelling. He's brought Kip Winger.
Oh, my gosh.
He's had Eric Martin from Mr. Big. Lita played there. John Corabi, for you fans of Primal Scream or that one Motley Crue album. Anyway, Lita got there, and I got to tell her the story and thanked her and got a smooch. And so, better late than never after all those years. So so have fun with Corey on that.
I will. I never threw any underwear at him, so I don't have that story.
Wasn't going to ask that. See, notice the friends, I did not ask that. So, I'm a little older than you are, and I would say the 80s films, the ones that are kind of the quintessential, were kind of ruined for me because of the films of the novels from S.E. Hinton.
Oh.
Tex, The Outsiders, Rumblefish. All of those came out before the suburban fairy tales of one Mr. John Hughes. So that resonated more to me than the Hughes canon and then the other
spiky-haired
vampires.
I loved them both. I mean, I remember reading The Outsiders.
It's kind of like Stones, Beatles. You can like both in the same universe, but I was a hard-headed teenage boy, and I'm like, I don't need that.
Oh, I get it. I've never been that way. Like, I love the Stones. I love the Beatles.
You love the Corys. You love the Outsiders.
Yeah,
yeah.
I loved hair bands. I love boy bands. Like, it's not like one or the other for me. I'm like, I get joy from all of these things.
I'm getting better. Because with pop culture, friends, there once you're totally into it, and then you reach an age and you distance yourself from it, and then you've reached an age where you kind of care less, and you kind of bring it back into your fold. And when you have a five in your age, points to self, that happens. That happens. Okay. How many cats have you had in your lifetime?
Oh, gosh. I can't even.
Really?
No, because...
Is it like Lions quarterbacks?
Yes, it
Bears
is.
Bears quarterbacks?
Well, you know, and starting out on a farm... We needed to have cats.
Oh, right. So were there work cats that, I mean, you strictly had to work with and ones that you couldn't play with? I hate to say field cats and house cats, but yeah.
Yes, and mostly my job was to, obviously they knew I wasn't going to be a great farmer because they were like, feed the cats and the calves, right? Like, stick a bottle in that calf's mouth and go throw some milk out so the cats stay around and the mice stay away. That was it. That was all I got to do.
You had one job.
That was it. And so, you know, I mean, I was really fascinated by the fact that some of them would just come up and rub all over me and be friendly. And some of them were like, just give us the milk and get away, woman. And so those were the ones that I was like, how do I, like, make the connection?
Right.
And so,
cat
I mean,
whisperer.
There were, you know, I mean, at any time, 30 to 40 cats on
the Okay, yeah, so that's hard
farm.
To, you can't name them all. And probably at the farm.
I did name them.
Did
I talk
really?
About it in the book. I talk about Jet, who I could never get to, so I named her Jet. And I talk about Sassy, who was just fat and always making kittens, and I didn't understand, you know, spay and neuter at the time, right?
Like, thanks, Bob Barker.
But yeah, I mean, that was my mission. And so, I would say, you know, taking Reggie and leaving after college and going to Omaha was the first place I did radio.
Oh, my.
And, you know, so from him to... I mean, I've seven cats now. Between the time that I met my husband who said he hated cats and I was like, this is Reggie, you're going to like him or this is over, we've had probably about 20 cats through our door.
Okay.
So there's seven right now.
You have cat lady status.
Yes. And I always have to tell people, like, I have a husband.
Yeah.
And before I met him, I had one cat. And then he came along, and now I, like, can't take him anywhere without him being like, we need to save all the cats.
How long have you two been married?
Oh, my gosh. We've been married since 2005.
Hey, all right.
Yes, yes. So
we got 23 years here.
Nice.
So my first cat was Tiger. I grew up in Flint, Michigan. I'm fine. Water was drinkable then.
Okay, good
but,
to know.
But Tiger and I had a six-month difference.
Okay.
And according to my parents, I would ram my head into Tiger's belly, but I was the only human that Tiger didn't smack.
Aww.
So there was that. And
yeah.
So we were together until I was 16. That's a long haul.
That's a very long
time. That's a very long haul. So that was, and that was the first, no, I shouldn't say that. My grandparents. But then I had to go into a room by myself and lose it.
Oh,
so,
sure. Aww.
So there was that. Then went through college. And then now my lovely wife, Lynn, has had Tigger, Smudge. I've named one cat in my life. One. You know, and I kind of use that info to guilt her. I was like, you know, I've never named a pet before, and because of my Detroit affiliation, we named a cat K-Line.
Oh wow!
Now my whole goal was to get nine cats and name them after the 1968 winners, but
sure.
that didn't happen. Then we had a kid, and then, oh, I guess you have to name them, whatever. So So I'll share this with you. We currently have Anya and Dimitri because somebody likes the film Anastasia.
Oh, nice.
And then said, oh, can we get another one, name it Bartok? And can we get another one, name it Rasputin? I said, when your dad has the beard, he's Rasputin. But we had lost, Curious, and we lost two cats in the span of a week.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
it was rough. And it was both flea oriented. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was because we have indoor cats. We just don't want them outside. And then after this happened, we're like, no, you're definitely staying inside.
Yes, we're the same way.
Yeah. So so we lost the cats. And so now we lost one over a weekend. Monday night I had a screening. And so I said, all right, I got to distract the kid. They were in high school. And we went and saw Can You Ever Forgive Me? This is the film with Melissa McCarthy as a forger. And there's I had no idea about this. There's a running bit about she's always behind on her bills for the vet because of her cat.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it got to a point where there's a shot where you just see her enter the apartment and we would both wince. You're like, oh, God. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, and eventually it happened. You're like, oh man. So that was Monday. Took the other cat to the vet on Thursday. It was in bad shape, and the kid was determined to bring the cat home so it could die with its family.
Aww.
Vet talked them out of it, mm-hmm. So we had to do it there. Ugh. And you leave and just feel like crap, and we went and had dinner. And so there are multiplexes, friends, that when a film opens on Friday, they'll have like a 7 p.m. or a 9 p.m. like the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one coming up, and I said, look, let's go. We had dinner. I said, let's go to a movie. Let's distract ourselves. We saw Bohemian Rhapsody. Yep. So there's, again, didn't see it coming.
Oh, no.
The band gets famous, and Freddie Mercury bought a house so big that he had a room for each of his cats.
All the cats.
And we lost it. I was like, God. Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
Did you not know about Freddie and his cats?
No.
Oh, no.
No. So, it's like, oh, geez. We were a wreck.
I bet. Oh, that is so tough. Yeah. And, since I've put the book out, and I'm the kitty correspondent for Pet Pals TV,
yes,
which has brought people, I get a lot of messages, and I'm honored that people want to reach out to me and ask how to grieve, right? Or when is the right time to put our pet down? And so this book is not going to bring you down, but I am raw in some moments in hoping that sharing these different stories will help people realize, because there's a big community of people who don't quite get the pet grief, right? And we need to respect it.
Totally.
We need to, because it's so real and raw. And if you don't get it, it's okay, but you need to respect it.
Yes, absolutely. I have, in the last couple of years, so I was one of those that would make fun of the humans that proclaim their pets as children.
Okay.
Because I would say that thing did not come out of your uterus. It's not a child. Since the kid has gone to college and we're empty nesters, I shifted a little bit. So I'm like, okay, yeah, Anya and Dimitri. So, because I remember my kid was 12 when I was told not to call them princess anymore. Anya is my princess now.
Ah.
So anyway, and Dimitri, skittish, spazzy boy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I'm like, okay, I understand this a little easier now. I get it.
Yes.
So I've lightened up a little bit in
and
that.
And we do try to, walk that line. Like, we get it, but we're also, all of our cats are weird and have something wrong with them, right? Because those are the ones that find us.
Yeah.
And sometimes we've chosen, we get that, this cat has special needs and we are the type of people who can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes we're like, we're just adopting like regular people. We're just going to get a cat. That's it. We're just going to get a cat. And then we come home with the cat. And a week later, and this is a story in the book, a week later, they're like, the cat needs to have his teeth removed. And I'm like, which teeth? All the teeth.
Oh.
I'm like, what? No, this was just the normal cat. We just went and got regular people getting a cat. No. They find us. So for us, there is a level of care that we have to put into. And so when people are like, are you really leaving Christmas at 3 o'clock because you have to take care of your cats?
Yep.
Yes, because that's the commitment that we make.
Exactly. Who are your Magnificent Seven right now?
So we have Grayson is my cover boy.
Hold on, let me see your cover. Oh, okay. Oh, the cover boy.
Yes.
So let me look at that. Steve McQueen.
We adopted him on International Batman Day, And so I couldn't call him Dick, right? Like, it's my cat
could.
Dick Grayson.
Well,
right. So we named him Grayson because we were getting him to be a companion, right? So he was like, oh, he's definitely not a Bruce Wayne. He's a Grayson. And we have Rhodey.
Okay.
Iron Man 3 was out the weekend that we adopted him.
Of course.
And then we have Jaina. She's a senior cat, and she looks very, very similar. Part of the reason she came into our family is she looks very similar to the first cat we adopted together as a couple, which was Princess Leia. And so we named her Jaina because in the Star Wars and the canon, Leia goes on to have a daughter named Jaina.
Oh, yes.
So that was, I always have to explain that to people. They're like, I don't know a Jaina in Star Wars. I'm like, then you don't know enough Star Wars.
You hear this? You hear this, office? Yeah, that's what we thought.
And then we have Johnny Storm. yes, his chapter in the book is be careful what you name your cat. Just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have...
Do you have a Knives Out sweater for the cat?
You know what? He does have a sweater because occasionally we do need to tame the Johnny Storm energy. And I'm like, okay, you need to calm down and put your sweater on, mister. Like... and then we have Amelia and Melody Pond because of my love of Doctor Who.
Gosh.
And not to bring everybody down, but we did get a Rory who was Amelia's love. And Rory was a kitten that we adopted who only lived for 8 days.
Oh, dear.
That's a tough chapter in the book.
I'm sure.
And then we have Malcolm is our youngest, and he is the captain of Serenity from Firefly. So I'm telling you, I love geek stuff and I love cats.
Like, I get it.
It's a constant conversation of what are we going to name these cats because it's going to be very, very meaningful to our geek lives.
No, I totally understand. Again, like we have Anastasia in our house right mm-hmm. now. So before we were setting this up, I had and this is where the background comes into this. Mm-hmm. There was a film that came out a while back, earlier this year, called Call Jane. It's with Elizabeth Banks and Sigourney Weaver.
Ooh.
Yes. So Banks is set in Chicago in 1968. She is kind of the Betty Draper, suburban housewife, doesn't do anything.
Okay.
And notices as time goes on. Well, what happens is she winds up getting pregnant and wants to have an abortion. And that's hard to do in 1968.
Yeah.
And so she discovers an underground organization run by Sigourney Weaver. And she finds purpose. So and it's a good film. And as I was watching this, I went, oh, this reminded me of, and I asked you about this before we set this up, but the film Year of the Dog
mm-hmm.
with my favorite Molly Shannon performance, and it's from Mike White who did Chuck and Buck and lots of other. You have to look, but she plays a kind of a meek, quiet office dweller who loves animals, but as time goes on. Her care for animals becomes stronger than her love for humans, especially mm-hmm. with her neighbor, played by John C. Reilly, and Laura Dern plays her sister-in-law. And she winds up becoming a serious animal rights activist. The throwing of the paint, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Taking the kid to the slaughter. I mean, and this is an extreme example.
Right.
But she also finds purpose. I wanted to add, I know you're not a paint thrower, but
I am not.
Okay, just
not yet.
All right. No, I'm just checking. So
there have been days, but I dialed
okay,
it back.
All right, but I wondered what you thought of that film, and you know, and I've wondered with people, where pets bring purpose.
Yes. Well, first of all, that film, I was like, did you just kill the dog at the beginning? Like, now I got to keep like you're kidding me.
Well, and that's the other thing. Is that a deal breaker? If you're going to the movies, like, can you watch John Wick?
I've never seen John Wick.
Ah, okay. All right.
Tell me, like, have told me, and I've even had people say, like, I'll tell you exactly where to
stop
and
skip.
Move forward.
Right.
And I'm like, but I know what happens.
Okay.
And I can't.
So don't watch any real Italian horror films from the 70s. Never, never, never.
Gotcha.
Because they had different
rights. I'll tell you how sensitive I am about this.
Okay.
We watched the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which is just ridiculous.
Yes.
Kevin Bacon is fabulous.
Yes.
Like, there's the running joke of Kevin Bacon being the hero, and God, he just like totally like hammed it up for this film being Kevin Bacon the hero. But there's a point where they're all like, they've learned the true meaning of Christmas and they're exchanging gifts, and Cosmo, the dog, brings this mangled little, terrible little creature, right? It's like, you know, it's like their version of like a rat, right?
Right.
But he like presents, like, I went and hunted and brought you this thing. And I was like, did we need to bring dead animals into this? Like, I was having a perfectly enjoyable time with Guardians of the Galaxy's holiday special. And now I'm watching a mangled animal lay in front of the footsteps of a guardian. Like, so I'm very sensitive to that.
Okay.
But getting back to Year of the Dog, like, I appreciated the journey, right?
Yeah.
But I absolutely believe, like, pets can bring purpose.
Yes.
And when I have people say, I hate cats, what I say to them is, do you like me? And typically they say yes. And I say, well, you can't hate cats and like me, because I wouldn't be who I am without cats.
Yep.
Doesn't mean you have to have cats. Doesn't mean, like,
right.
you have to change anything. But know that this is an animal that, for whatever reason, has brought purpose into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always respect that. You know, I don't care if it's skunks. You know, there are people out there who are saving skunks. Like, good for you. I don't want a skunk, but I get why you do. Like, that's mm-hmm. your purpose. So,
certain somebody who's in college was like, we want a dog. I want a dog. And of course, our response is, we want a dog lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been in a recording studio since 6:30 in the morning. So that doesn't do well with dogs.
Right.
So there is that. So I with that, I checked online finest performances by animals in film.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Let's
so we're going through the, here we go, friends. You love it. Hot screen scrolling here on Film Sociology. This is a, what is this? Filmschoolrejects.com. somebody did
our
this.
People.
The 25 best animal performances of the decade. And then we'll get into some, there's another list I'll get to.
Okay.
So now some of these I have questions. Well, first
Which
off,
decade?
This decade.
This decade,
apparently.
Okay.
So number 25, Ruby and Pearl as Meowthra in the Lego Ninjago movie from 2017.
I think that's the only Lego movie I haven't seen.
Now there are insects that are on this list, so I don't.
Okay.
Uncredited Spider Seeking a Friend at the End of the World, 2012. Kelly is Pippin in The Meg. That's the Jason Statham shark film.
Oh, that's not. I did not.
Yeah, that's. I think the dog's in peril, so we're going to keep moving on. Cinderella and Prince's Bitch in Hush from 2016. I don't know it. 14 uncredited snakes from Them That Follow. This is the Appalachian snake charmer. Moving up. Well, I think you're rooting for the snakes in this film.
Yes.
Uncredited Rabbit in The Favorite from 2018. Okay. Gamja, Mangchi, and Mungchi as Zuni, Berry, and Fufu from the 2019 Best Picture winner Parasite.
Okay.
Yeah, they're good. Let's see. I'm sorry, Ants from Heredity. That's no.
Nope.
Marty from Elle. Oh, with Isabelle Huppert. Isabelle Huppert stalks Chloe Grace Martz. But I always say she chews scenery, but it's with a knife and fork. It's
okay.
Really good. The horse from the Turin horse. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie from Mandy. That's a lion. And I'm sorry, a tiger. That's a Nicolas Cage film. Andy is Daisy and John Wick.
Okay.
So there's 24.
Yeah, okay.
Brandy from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh.
Great dog performance.
Yes.
And a great plot point at the end of that film if you haven't seen it yet. Olivia in Game Night. The dog in Game Night. Jim and Pepe as Apollo in The Rider from 2017. I love this film. It's Chloe Zhao, who later did Nomadland and did one of the 97 Marvel films that came out. But this was a guy, non-actors, but he is a rodeo rider who had to get stitches in his skull and had to retire from the rodeo. But he, of course, lives in the Pine Ridge Reservation in the Dakotas where there's, you know, does he work at the pharmacy or does he try to do and go back to, it's kind of a rodeo version of The Wrestler.
Gotcha.
And great
okay.
film. The unnamed seagulls in The Lighthouse. Also
great
uses
job,
a plot
seagulls.
Point. Yeah, way to
yeah,
go, seagulls.
Yeah.
That's I'm sorry. That's a fun film. It's
it
dark
is.
And weird and twisted. And Robert Pattinson can act. Watch this. It's also, let's see. The uncredited horses is Joey from War Horse, the Spielberg film.
I didn't see it.
It's, well, the play, and this also goes for the stage version of Equus, friends, I know, where it's used with puppets and marionettes for the horses. But okay, because it's a Steven Spielberg film, there is a CGI, there are actual horses in the film, but there's also some CGI horse moments when it's running through a bunker in World War I. Yeah, so there's that. Number eight, the cat Cheeto from Gone Girl.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay.
That movie is miserable. Cheeto's the only good thing.
That's a couple that's made for each other.
Right?
Watch that on February 14th. The Untrained Mustangs in The Mustang from 2019. Oh, that's Matthias Schoenaerts. So... Jersey from Can You Ever Forgive Me, which I mentioned. That's the Melissa McCarthy film. Ah, Uggie, Dash, and Dude is the dog from The Artist, the 2011 Best Picture, the silent film winner. Number four, Sully as Steven Seagal in The Shallows from 2016. That's the one Blake Lively is stuck in the island.
Yep.
Tiger, Jerry, and Daryl as Ulysses from Inside Llewyn Davis. That's Oscar Isaacs is a folk singer, and he has a cat that he has to take care of.
I do not know this, but
him. It's a Coen Brothers film. Check it out. It's a great kind of, he de-romanticizes the folk movement in New York in the 50s and in the 1950s. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Number two, Olivia as Olivia from Widows from 2018.
Okay, I didn't know Olivia really was Olivia.
Steve McQueen, not that Steve McQueen. This is the gangster film with Viola Davis and a bunch of butt-kicking females.
Mm-hmm.
And on this list, finally, number one, Charlie as Black Phillip from The Witch from 2015.
I did not see The Witch.
There is that. So thank you for that list. Now, the other one here is Best Animal Performances in Film History. We'll scroll and see how far we scroll.
Okay. So say, I feel like in this decade, we kind of have failed.
There's
animals,
a few hit
like
and misses.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, okay, right out of the gate, Toto.
Of course.
Lassie.
Yes.
Shadow from Homeward Bound.
Oh, yeah.
That was watched quite as well as Chance from Homeward Bound, Benji, of course.
Oh my gosh,
Old Yeller.
Oh my heart.
Or, as I believe, was it? It was Old Yeller. As Phoebe from Friends called it, the doggy snuff film.
Ugh.
Beethoven. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Sassy from Homeward Bound.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, Asta. Skippy from The Thin Man.
Okay.
Myrna Loy and William Powell.
Yep.
Einstein from Life. Flipper, of course.
Oh, boy.
Keanu. You Key and Peele fans.
Oh, yes.
Buddy, the Air Bud films. Oh, don't look up the making of the Air Bud films.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You'll shake your fist in anger.
Am I going to throw paint?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Hooch, Willie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we're getting Hushy. Oh, I love Hushy.
Mm.
Pauly. She's the bird. Yeah. Winter from A Dolphin Tale. The Black Stallion, of course.
Of course.
Andre. Winn-Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
Bruiser Woods from Legally Blonde. Yeah.
Very important role.
Skip from My Dog Skip. Mm-hmm. Baxter from Anchorman.
Oh, yes. Oh, Baxter.
Frank from Men in Black. Clyde from Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can.
Oh, yeah.
Dunstan checks in. Mm. The monkey from Indiana, from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Sorry, you had to eat. There's acting. He had to eat a date and then play dead. So that's, okay, that's fun. So anyway, what is this, ranker.com, of course, because we rank everything.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Cats.
Yeah.
The musical.
Oh, no. No. No.
It's like, we love Cats. We love Idris Elba and Judy Dench and Ian McKellen just not morph together.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I just was like, how many test screenings did you not listen to? Like, certainly people had to be like, in the very beginning, no, 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 no.
With or without the buttholes. Anyway, no, that's the only time we can say that. So the book is called Raised by Cats, Behind the Mic and the Meows from KJ, your kitty correspondent. So KJ, animals or otherwise, what have you been watching lately?
I've watched the Guardians of the Galaxy
holiday
special.
So
last
does
night.
It make fun of the Star Wars Christmas special? Or is it just, I mean...
You know, honestly, it's just kind of paying tribute to those old kind of silly holiday specials.
Yes.
When it opens, it's the, remember the, like the family night, the special presentation.
Oh, sure.
It opens just like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you like get immediate like childhood feels.
It better be sponsored by Dolly Madison. You know, the poor man's Twinkies, we know. But they had the peanuts on them, so shut up.
But it was really fun. It was nice to see the main characters in this that get the most screen time are Dave Bautista as Drax.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, forgetting her last name right now, Palm, that plays Mantis.
Okay, yeah.
They really, like... develop those characters a little bit more. There is a little bit of a plot twist that will have implications in future movies, as Marvel does. But it's just, you can just have fun watching it. The soundtrack is great. They did a remake. There's a point where the song that's playing is from the SNL skit, I Wish It Was Christmas Today.
Geez,
Kevin Bacon's band plays a really big part in this.
The
so
Bacon Brothers,
there's
nice.
There's music, there's Christmas, there's, you know, the saving Christmas moment. I mean, Marvel did a good job of making a holiday special, and we're not, like, and not making it to where we're like, yeah, that kind of goes in the Star Wars special category.
Well, that less. So, what? I'll translate for basically less cocaine on this one.
Yes.
different decade. Trust me, if you've not seen the Star Wars Christmas, look for it. You can't, I'm sorry.
It's hard to find.
Yeah, Lucas can't have everything, so look for it, and
yes.
You'll like, oh my gosh. So
let me ask you.
Yeah.
Have you? And this isn't spoiling anything, but
no.
It was an exciting moment for us. Have you seen the movie Santa Claus Conquers the Martians?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, many times.
Good,
Mystery Science Theater treatment and non-Mystery Science Theater treatments.
Yes.
I own both of those. I'm Mr. Physical Copies guy because Big Brother can't take that from me.
Right. Same here.
Yeah,
like when we saw it in the DVD bin, we were
you
like,
you snagged
oh,
it. Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
ours.
Yeah, with Pia Zadora. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a moment in the Guardians of the Galaxy
where
Kevin Bacon's sitting on his couch, like having, like eating some Christmas candy, and he's watching Santa Claus versus the Martians.
It's friends, it's a bonkers film, Santa Claus Conquered the Martians, as well as Mystery Science Theater introduced me to this called Santa Claus, which is a Mexican film where Santa outwits the devil.
Oh.
A guy in red tights and red face and prancing. It's one of those,
wow.
Like, and you're like, how did this get made? But it did.
Yeah.
So, oh, nice nugget there.
Right? I was so excited about that. So, I mean, we haven't actually been watching a lot because it turns out when you put out a book that you have to, like, do
tour, sell it, yeah.
And sell it. And so I was like, and my husband works in retail.
Oh gosh! So it's...
yeah, so there he. I don't see him at all, which is why we were like, oh, the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is 44 minutes. Perfect.
Yeah,
there
are times if I can get Miss Associate, that's my wife, Lynn. She lets me call her that on the radio. But yeah, if we can get together and if I can get her to look up from the laptop, I'm like, oh, I was like, honey, what do you want to listen to? Is because I'm currently in award screener mode. The struggle is real.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Oh yeah. So what was it? Yesterday was She Said, The Fablemans, and Tar. That's
wow.
A triple fee, and yeah, with time to breathe in between.
No, I've been in a sort of, I just kind of need a, you know, things that aren't, you know, too hard on the mind, right? Like I don't generally go for the Hallmark Christmas stuff, but my producer, Jonna, convinced me to watch The Nine Lives of Christmas.
Which one is that?
It's Brandon Routh, so you know I got to watch my Superman.
Geez.
Watching Superman with cats, and it was so good. They did a sequel called The Nine Kittens of Christmas.
Of course they did.
So I literally got up the next morning, and it was like, you know, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday because I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every day, and I was like, you know, I think I'm gonna go watch I'm gonna grab my coffee and sit by the Christmas tree and watch The Nine Kittens of Christmas sequel.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
That's how you buy 9:40 a.m. pot people. No, so this spring, my mother-in-law broke her wrist. She's in her 80s. So it was going over, getting her food, getting her physical therapy, making sure she has dinner that she can lift, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. And I would stay over at least two nights a week. I was in rehearsal mode. I was directing a play in the summer. But I tried, but she would go to bed at 8 o'clock. It's great because I'm like, it's still daylight. It's, uh-huh. But she'll, you know, she'll be up in 5 hours because she doesn't sleep all the way through. Anyway, but the, one of the things I try to do is to keep it on a channel that she will watch. Mm-hmm. So I plowed through a lot of Law and Order.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of Murder, She Wrote. And of course, I was like, oh, God, because we start in October. The movies start, the holiday movies start to take over.
Do they?
Oh, God, yes. Thanks, retail. I know it's not your husband's fault, but, you know.
Oh, no, no, you're
3 fine. Months, 3 holidays. But, no, Hallmark doesn't care. We just throw Christmas movies in October.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, there was one where, and you can find the outline. Somebody does the outline of every holiday Hallmark mm-hmm. movie. But, yeah, there was my wife and my mother-in-law and I, and it was some, I don't know what it's called, I don't know what it is. It's Pretty People. But it was a charm bracelet. And they try to find, like, somebody left it. And so this woman is determined to find the charm bracelet and, you know, do clues. And there's an investigative reporter.
Of course.
Way too hot for investigative reporters. I know. I have a degree in journalism. Nobody looked like Robert Redford and All the President's Men back in 75. No way this guy can write. But anyway. But so we're watching this. And then my mother-in-law goes to bed. And I start to flip it, and my wife goes, I want to see how they do it. All right.
You got to have those moments.
Yeah.
You have to.
I don't see me in these. See, you need one token fat, bearded, weirdo guy. You know, he owns the record store in Generic Town, USA, which mm-hmm. is actually Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
And hey, work is work. You can. I know those folks. Once you're in, it's kind of like the mob or the Girl Scouts. You never really get out. But
right.
you're steadily working all year. It feels like all year round.
Oh yeah.
You
oh,
know.
Yeah.
You do two Hallmark regular movies and then you do two Christmas movies and just
yep,
rotate.
You
so.
Sure do. Now, do you mix in Harry Potter this time of year?
See, okay. No.
Okay.
I had to review those and I did them. They were mm-hmm. fine. It's less of a chore. It's only although one book, one film.
I agree.
Stop doing that.
I know.
You can put out, and somebody had, so you could put out a 3 to 3.5 hour climax and people would go to it. Don't split it. And I'm looking at you, Hunger Games.
Oh, I
and
know.
Twilight.
Twilight.
And
all, I, think nobody, wasn't it I think it was Twilight that started it.
I,
and that was not necessary.
Yeah,
I did.
So,
my sister loved those books, my youngest sister. So I like. She was like, you got to read these. You got to read these. So I, you know, did.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, no, we're not doing. No, we're not doing two movies.
So no, I had to watch all those. I still remember to this day being on Fox 59 AM reviewing the first one. And there was controversy because some people, they don't live in town, you know, thought that Harry Potter promoted witchcraft.
Oh, yes.
And, yeah, there's still room. Guess what? Those folks almost voted Herschel Walker in. Anyway, but anyway.
Anyway, back to
but
cats.
I actually said on Fox's morning show that it's basically Sabrina the Teenage Witch meets the Paper Chase. Not everybody got that. You did. I could have used you watching the show, but I know where you were working at that time. So, but yeah, that's kind of – so, no, I went through all the Potter stuff, and then I'm good. So
okay.
I've moved on to it's like – and that one is – but, like, the Marvel stuff, the individual films are fine,
mm-hmm.
but it feels at times like a chore. Now, I'm a big
yes.
Bond fan, but it's been 26 films in a span of over 50 years as opposed to now it feels like there's a new film every month. It's like I don't have a wall with push pins and yarn
right.
to connect the entire MCU and then over here on this wall, the DC Universe. I'm like, I got to watch something else.
Yeah. But, and, you know, I have people that will say, you know, it started in the beginning, like, okay, you know, when we had like 10 movies, like,
right.
how do I watch these if I want to watch them? And I'm like, okay, you didn't watch these in order. And now I'm like, okay, we got to get the map out. I'm going to need at least 3 hours of your time.
She has yarn and pushpins
yeah.
on the wall.
Oh, yeah. And
it looks like the FBI. It looks like the CIA or the FBI office.
And I actually, read an article yesterday. I don't know if it's true, but the
it's never stopped us.
Rumors are that Marvel is considering redoing some of the next phase to slow it down. Because
when you lose track,
when you lose me,
yeah,
I don't know. There's only so much we can do. I knew that they were going to struggle with this, right? Because there's no way you're repeating what we did with Iron Man to Endgame.
Correct.
Right? It's just, you can't repeat that. And so these phases are going to struggle in figuring out how do you keep people with this interest. But you can only tell so many hero stories before they all kind of
bleed
the
together,
same, right?
Yeah, and then we just make fun of the template of the Hallmark Christmas movies. So.
Yes. Now I will say, as someone who grew up with the Fantastic Four and has a cat named Johnny Storm,
not the Roger Corman version of the Fantastic Four,
right? That I am so geeked about the fact that we've got Marvel set up to where they can make the Fantastic Four the way that
this
it
time,
should be.
It sounds like Bullwink. This time for sure.
This time for sure, yes. But that would be the thing that I am most excited about. And they have pushed that back to the end of 2025 or something. So I'm like, okay, well.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching the last attempt with my kid. Kid liked it, and I was okay with it. And then, of course, I read more about it. But I was like, I see the trying to make the connections, and you get Michael B. Jordan in there. That's cool. But yeah, then I read more about it. I'm like, ooh, geez.
Yeah. No, I watched the first 7 minutes of that Fantastic Four, and I was nope, because everybody had told me at that point it was terrible. I'm like, oh, it's free. I'll just watch it. And they're like, No.
Wow.
It's not.
Okay.
I'm not even going to watch this for free.
Okay. There you go. Now, do you have these on in the background while you're cleaning?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
So that's your companion.
Yep. I keep my Marvel stuff going. Doctor Who's my best friend.
See, I always say I want a Doctor Who companion, except in knowing my luck, it would be a Minion and Drag. Or as I've learned, I'm like, okay, here's my favorite pop culture liking. It's like Doctor Who companions versus hot assistant DAs from Law and Order.
Ah.
So that's, anyway, I am man, hear me oink.
I understand.
Yes, you know exactly. All right, the book is Raised by Cats, Behind the Mic and the Meows. As KJ, our kitty correspondent, has written, where can people get the book?
So it's in, all the places. Like, you can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all of that. But if you want to shop local, it's at Hampton Design Studio and Shop in Irvington.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, it's so gross to say this, but if you'd like a signed copy. Every time I get an order, you can go to raisedbycats.com, and because I'm signing it and shipping it myself,
you know
it will
you.
Get
yes,
to you,
you
before
you,
Christmas.
You don't have an assistant or an intern
you? Oh, no. The grand KJ Media Company is still all me. I have my producer who, does what she can, but she still has a full-time job.
I remember being at Fox and some kid asked for my autograph, and I immediately responded with, why?
Right?
Aim higher, please.
I had a girl in California who is super excited for me to autograph this book and send it to her sister, and I'm like, why? I mean, I will, but
not,
this is what you're giving her for Christmas? Are
gonna,
you sure?
It's not going to bump up on eBay at all. It's not going to, oh, it's signed, same price.
Right, exactly.
No, we appreciate the signature seekers.
But I really, really do hope, I think, not to get too, cat crazy, but we as human beings tried to fit cats in the dog box for a very long time.
Mm.
And thankfully, in the last 10 years, there's actually been a lot of catching up as far as psychology and how to actually have cats so that we're not going, oh, I don't understand this thing, and putting it back in the shelter. And so I really hope the struggles that I've been through and the things that I've learned, that my story will help you have a better story with cats. that is the goal. Because at the end of the day, if I can help somebody who's stressed about their cat go, oh, I didn't know that, and now I'll try this because KJ said it worked for her, then that keeps the cat in a home, and that's what I want.
There you go. And you can look up KJ today, KJOnTheAir.com.
Yep.
Where the pet show?
PetPalsTV.com.
Give them all my best.
Yes, I will.
And yeah, so KJ, I appreciate you hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you're. I hope the Packers get the next Jameis Winston.
No,
or Jamarcus Russell. It's more Jamarcus Russell. I have the drink. So
you're hoping that we go through the 20 to 30 quarterbacks.
What the Lions have gone through.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You see all this gray? Why do I watch Lions football? Because my wife won't punch me in the head for 17 Sundays. Thanks, KJ.
Thank you.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Before we grab a pencil, just to let you know, this week on Golden Globus Theater, they are talking about Godzilla versus Megalon, and there's a lot of tag team wrestling references. Meanwhile, over at the Projection Booth podcast, it's episode number 600 for them, and they're talking about Local Hero, and they got Peter Riegert on the show. Lucky them. So, yeah. And, of course, as I've mentioned many times on the show, Local Hero was a game changer for me as a kid. So go check them out. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. We start with Dustin, who writes Violent Night. Nick Rogers writes Troll, A Wounded Fawn, Puss in Boots, the Last Wish, which is the most recent one, The Mean One, The Fablemans, Emancipation, Avatar, The Way of Water, The Pale Blue Eye, and Babylon. Doug writes The Crimson Pirate with Burt Lancaster. Jason writes Violent Night, So Much Fun. Eric writes First View, Maya Deren's Meshes of the Afternoon from 1943. And the rewatch, Jean Dierman's 23 Quad de Commons, et cetera, et cetera. Plus, Back Down the Rabbit Hole with Mark, Doug, Carol, Peter, Carter, and the other wacky ER folk bit way back when. So, yes, ER. Never forget. That reminds me. I found at a certain place that has half-price stuff, season one of Murphy Brown. And my wife and I wound up watching a few episodes of that. But, yes, Eric, I actually talked about ER with my kid because people who live in Chicago love to do location scout notifications. They like to, you know, the inaccuracies of where parts of the city are in the episodes of ER. So there you go. Lou Harry writes Broker, Babylon, Avatar 2, Empire of Light, Spirited, Women Talking, The Whale, The Banshees of Inisherin, After Sun, and Bros. Daniel writes Mr. Malcolm's List. Nancy writes Nope. Amanda went to the library and then went to the movies. The Fablemans, As Good as It Gets, Elvis, Music of the Heart, Dog, and Where the Crawdads Sing. Thank you, Amanda. Craig writes, I love this, Village of the Damned, the one from 1960, and then he goes, or was that last week? Craig, it's okay if you posted it last week. It happens because, you know, sometimes I have to read last week's Facebook post because of the algorithms, and sometimes they just bleed together, so it's okay. Village of the Damned from 1960. Also, Craig watched Death Takes a Holiday and Aces High. Judy writes Still Alice, and still kind of meh for her, and then on Twitter she wrote about watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Time with Her Son. It's still ending. the movies, not the time with her son. Hang in there, Jude. Lizzie writes Tar, Bones and All, Lady Chatterley's Lover, and Thoroughbreds. Michael writes The Greatest Beer Run Ever, Pee-wee's Great Adventure, and When You Went Away. David writes, Finally saw Black Panther Wakanda Forever, and in Film Lit we watched Spirited Away, The Fall, and Started Across the Universe. Robert Muggy writes, The Wild Bunch, Les Stances et Sophie, Theodora Goes Wild, It Happens Every Spring, Love is News, You Never Can Tell, Rhubarb, and Murder, He Says. Zachariah writes, Bones and All, Prancer, and Sunrise. Lauren writes, Where the Crawdads Sing, and The Luckiest Girl Alive. Beth writes, Manchester by the Sea. Oh, hang in there. Jamie writes, Frosty Returns, Home Alone, and Home Alone 2. Gary writes The Last Witch Hunter, the latest Emma from 2020, Rise of the Guardians, Castle Falls, The Castle of Fu Manchu, War of the God Monsters, and Despite the Gods. Terry writes Felicia's Journey, Caught, and Dream Demon. Everin writes Gremlins. Don writes Making of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and Who Are You People, about also about making the same movie, okay? Melissa writes, A Christmas Story, which until this week I had never seen from start to finish. It's okay, Melissa. It's really okay. It's on cable channels 24/7 this month. Jessica writes, A Muppet Christmas Carol, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, Anna and the Apocalypse, Bros and the Princess and the Frog. Andrew writes, Runaway Bride, Rumor Has It, and Doctor Strange. Christy writes, Birdman. And finally, Taylor writes, The Outfit, Hell to Eternity, The Decoy, and now Voyager. And there you go. That's what you've been watching this week, friends. So hopefully you got to watch some good films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as all falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. There is one guy. There's Dead People We Like, because we never have time for Dead People We Don't Like. And I forgot to get to this last week. But from a cult film director, Albert Pullion died on November 26 at the age of 69. And best known for directed, oh my gosh, over 50 credits. Oh, man, here's some hot scrolling here at Film Sociology. But he was a part, his very first film right out of the gate was 1982's The Sword and the Sorcerer, which I remember with that and Conan the Barbarian and a few others of the sword and sandal films from the early 80s. But if you're a fan of Mystery Science Theater or B-movies, you recognize some of his work like Sword and the Sorcerer, Alien from L.A., hi, Kathy, the Jean-Claude Van Damme film Cyborg, did the 1990 Captain America, Kickboxer 2, Blood Match, the first Dahlman film, Brain Smasher, A Love Story, Kickboxer 4, Nemesis 2, Nemesis 3, Omega Doom, Nemesis 4, Mean Guns, Crazy 6, Urban Menace, The Wrecking Crew, Ticker, you know, a lot of films on the video store shelves. Road to Hell, Bullet Face, his last credit from 2018, Death Hands and Brain Drain. So thank you, Albert. We're going to end this week's show with, I haven't done music at the end. Well, I did the Irene Cara thing, but normally in old Film Sociology shows, I would use T Plays It Cool from Trouble Man, and I just found out that this week is the 50th anniversary of the release of the film Trouble Man, which hopefully my Blu-ray will be arriving soon, and just one of the all-time great scores from Marvin Gaye. So we'll end this week with T Plays It Cool. So, yeah, that's it. So hopefully keep looking for good movies out there. You deserve it. There's plenty. And we'll do this again next week. Thank you for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
Let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life? Well,
let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!